But kudos to the one dad who came up behind him, tapped him on the shoulder and said, "Hey, my son really wants to get a picture with the plague doctor."
That's great. Yeah. So
I was like, that kid's homeschooled, I can tell you right now. Mm-hmm. Hashtag homeschooled.
Yes.
So anyway, knowing about a plague doctor when you're like 7 or 8.
Plague doctor and the homeschooler.
It's true, you guys. It's just a thing.
What happens when you combine a design-loving, big-city-living, black-clothes-wearing art history major with a culinary-teaching, small-town-living, pink toenail painting home ec major? We'll stir in two husbands, 6 grown kids, pop it in the oven for 40-plus years of friendship and foolishness, and you get a big old batch of designer cornbread.
Welcome to episode 154 or 5 or something like that.
54, you got 54.
It. 54, look, 154. Mm-hmm. Doing real good.
We are. You got your hair did this afternoon.
I did, and my toesies.
Oh, that's always a good day. Like, getting your hair done is just like...
I was super stressed today and mad and all kinds of stuff, so it was good to end the day.
Good. Well, we'll get to that a little later because I've got some things to say about this week. But we'll start off with just a little catch up. I'm trying to think. So, I mean, I had a really restful weekend. We'll kind of get into that a little bit, which is wonderful. I basically crocheted and watched football and watched TV. I watched all 3 Hobbit movies in a row, like one whole night. I just binged The Hobbit. Yeah, we'll get into that later. Anyway, Tim did come home Friday night. I think it was Friday night. He came home. And he had stopped at Trader Joe's and he came in and he had flowers for me. He said, "I got you flowers." I know, really nice. Trader Joe has really beautiful flowers. He said, "I got you flowers and some lady cheese."
Wow.
And I went,
"Lady cheese? I don't know about lady cheese." I got some questions about that, and I'm not sure I want the answers for them.
Too. I said, "Lady cheese?" And he said, "You know, for your girl dinner." Because he makes fun of me for eating just like, you know, as you do. Sometimes cheese and crackers.
That's it. Yeah.
And some wine. That's really all you need. So he was so sweet because he was so proud that he got me some lady cheese. But I, like you, did not care for that.
I don't like that term.
I didn't like it at all.
I can. Lady cheese.
I got you some lady cheese.
I think I'm out on that one.
Yeah. It wasn't great.
The cheese were nice, though.
It was nice. They're really.
And all.
I know.
Sweet, romantic.
I know. He is sweet.
Lady cheese.
Except the lady cheese. I kind of wrecked it. No, but I was really happy. And he did get me my favorite one from there. Oh, who's calling me? Which is the Rosemary Asiago wedge from Trader Joe's. It's a banger.
You can't go wrong with either of those.
You can't. You really can't. And it's just like the perfect. So anyway, he brought me that. And then, man, I don't even know what happened. Lots of resting. Thatcher went with some friends on Sunday to the Renaissance Fair.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Okay.
And he dressed like a plague doctor.
Uh-huh, yes.
You know?
I do.
In all black, he ordered the mask with the eyes and the big beak. For those of you who are not, I'm sure you've seen him in movies. But back in the medieval times when the Black Plague was rampant, they would have the plague doctors, which actually was kind of smart now that I sort of think about it. Because, you know, they didn't have any idea about germs. They really didn't have any idea of that. But these doctors would wear these giant black masks with big beaks on them.
Beaks. I mean, they look terrifying.
They're terrifying. Like, if you saw that coming, you would be like,
I had died and not lived the life I thought I had lived.
Something has gone wrong.
Something is. Well, okay.
Well, yeah.
Turns out I wasn't written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
It turns out this thing. So they would wear these whole get-ups, which of course, you know, whatever. But so imagine Thatcher at 6'5".
Yes.
In the all black with the hood and the big beak mask on. It was pretty great. So it's so funny. I guess that was Sunday. So then at some point during the day, he was still gone. And one of his friends who went with him, she posted something that some other friend had posted. I don't know. Don't even ask me. But I got onto the Instagram, this guy's account, and in his stories, he had pictures, some pictures from their day, from the fair. And the first picture on his stories about the Renaissance Fair was the plague doctor getting cash out of the ATM.
That's hilarious. Oh, my God.
So Thatcher is standing there in his full.
Oh, my gosh.
And he's at the ATM. Because plague doctor needed a little cash. You know what I'm saying? Yes. And then the second picture is plague doctor using a straw to sip his beer because his mask, it's hard.
It's hard.
So he cut a little hole and he's sipping.
Oh, my gosh.
And then like a couple later, there was a group picture and they're all like elves and different things. And then there's just this dark, like
scary monster.
And then the last one was just him. They were just plague doctor sitting on the bleachers watching the joust. He was just sitting next to his friend.
That's hilarious.
So
that's hilarious. Yeah.
That made me laugh. And we were thinking, and Thatcher even said, he's like, man, how many little kids am I just going to terrify? Like, again, he's 6'5". I mean, he makes a great Gandalf. He makes a great, all those kinds of things. And he said he kept it on. He said, I kept the mask up for like 3 hours. He said, I kept that on and then finally went back to the car and kind of changed a little bit to do other stuff. But because you can't eat the turkey leg. You can't eat the giant turkey legs at the fair if you've got a big.
That's not going up under.
It's not going up under the.
The beak.
You can't get that under the beak. But he did say, you know, it was so fun because, of course, he can see people looking at him, but they can't see his eyes, you know. And so he would see little kids and some of them would walk by him and they're just looking up at him like, oh. And then some would like be by their parents and kind of like go around to the side behind their parents. But kudos to the one dad who came up behind him, tapped him on the shoulder and said, hey, my son really wants to get a picture with the plague doctor.
That's great. Yeah.
I was like, that kid's homeschooled, I can tell you right now. Hashtag homeschooled.
Yes.
So anyway, knowing about a plague doctor when you're like 7 or 8.
Plague doctor and the homeschooler.
It's true, you guys. It's just a thing. We all. So that made me laugh. It made me very, very happy. So what'd you get up to this weekend?
Well, my fellowship team had a fish fry for 170 people Sunday.
Fish fry?
Yeah. So I've been working on that all weekend. And then it all came to, you know, to a head on Sunday. And a great time was had by all.
Well, I bet it was. Now, what was the occasion? Was it just a fellowship
time? We have an annual fish fry. You came to the one last year.
Oh, I did. You know what? Yeah. I was just thinking when you said that, I'm like, I remember the fish fry.
Yeah, you ate Miss Bobby's banana pudding.
She did. She made the banana pudding for me. She even gave me a little cup of the barely little leftovers that were left to take home. And I think Ron ate it. But anyway, it's fine.
He did. Yeah. So, no, we have an annual fish fry. And, it's just everything's, I'm fixing to have a very stressful few weeks here. Because we're going to do a farm-to-table festival.
Mm-hmm.
We've got tailgate this Saturday with Mississippi State.
Listen, we got to talk about that
again.
carry on.
Anyway, and then we just get into, I've got event after event after event, and it's a crash.
Yeah, so, well, when I come, you can crash.
Yours is kind of the beginning. I'm kind of getting through. I have the tailgate, and then we have fall break.
Right.
And oh, then okay. It all starts.
Oh, I thought it was all before I was, I thought it was all this next week.
No.
Oh, so you're going to be a big stress wad?
No, I'm not. I'm not going to stress.
Okay.
I'm going to chillax. And
okay. I'm going to get you all relaxed and ready just to, you know, hit the ground running.
All right.
Be a champion for Jesus.
Yeah. Let me say this. I did go to Walmart. And, you know, it's not Walmart. Walmart is fine. And especially in small towns, Walmarts are great. I mean, they're good stores. You know, it's the people of Walmart. It's why I don't like going to Walmart. And so I am in there the other day, and I swear to you, there was a man, and he had like three or four little children with him. And he is yelling, I mean, yelling, walking through Walmart, going, rah, rah, ree, kick him in the knee, rah, rah, ras, kick him in the ass. And he went, I mean, the other knee. And
what?
He's yelling this over and over and over. I was like, okay, this is freaking me out. I got to get to the other side of the store.
He needs to settle down.
Yeah, he needed to settle down. I was like, come on. I mean, three little kids, and he's just yelling this going through Walmart. I was like, no.
Okay, yeah, I would have been out. I've been like, I'm going to the other section. Something's wrong with you.
I did. I went. I had other stuff to get in that section, but I went to the whole other side of the store because I thought, I can't deal with this.
I can't. Mr. Rah Rah, we got to let him get up out of here.
I need to maybe just go to Walmart like once a week so I've got like a new story from Walmart that I can tell.
I think you should do that for the content. I mean, honestly, if you were really a professional at this, you would sacrifice for the team.
Yes, yeah. Well, there's that.
Yeah.
Today.
It's not much better. It depends on the Walmart here. Yeah. It really depends. There's different, you know, obviously we have different, having more than one location spreads it out a little bit. But yeah, there's some interesting stuff that goes on. I'm sorry you had to go to Walmart, but I'm glad because you had a good story.
I do.
So that makes it worth it. Okay, time for football corner.
Okay.
I mean, 4-0. We're 4-0.
Say, we've already, you know, doubled from last year.
We've already doubled from, like, the predictions of this year.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't want to, like, jinx anything, but I don't know what to say.
We've played really well, and I've been very impressed with our defense.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got some good momentum going. Now, Tennessee, they're a very good team. I mean, they're an outstanding team.
Yeah.
But I'm here to tell you, anything can happen. And I've watched, of course, you know, Tennessee's my secondary. I grew up as a big Tennessee fan and still am a Tennessee fan.
Yep.
And this game really is kind of hard for me because if Tennessee wins, okay. You know, I mean, it's just not us.
It's not the word. It's not like when you play Ole Miss and you're like,
right. Yeah.
You want to pound them into the sand.
I do. I am hoping for Mississippi State to win this just because we are the underdog and we're coming out strong, you know. Can we pull it off? I don't know, but I will tell you, growing up watching the SEC, anything can happen.
Anything can happen.
And I've watched Tennessee have some trouble on the road. And sometimes there have been teams that they should have beat on the road that they didn't. So,
well, and since it is going to be in Starkville, I think that's going to play, you know, like you said, some kind of something. I mean, this is the first, you know, this is the big test. This game is the big test for Mississippi State to kind of go, what are you really made of? You've been doing very well. I'll tell you, I mean, I'm aside from the defense, you know, the quarterback, man, he looks so comfortable and confident. Yeah. He gets out there, nothing is flustering him. He is very confident with that offense.
And our kicker has been outstanding.
You know, remember last year? No one could kick for nothing.
No. Yes. So we finally have we've got a really good kicker. Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, we look good. You know, I mean, are we SEC good? I mean, we're about to find out.
I don't know.
We are about to find out. But I've been real pleased with him. So
I have too. It was like hearing the, and I know, you know, I don't know much about whatever the little team they played this last week, Illinois, Northern Illinois. Yeah. And they put on a good, you know, they put on a good game. You know, I don't know how good or not they are. But it was so funny to hear the announcer, cause I watched it. I did get to watch, that game live, and the announcers, Joni, were saying so many nice, wonderful accolades for Mississippi State. I just didn't know who they were talking about. I was like, what? They were going on and on.
Do you know who one of those announcers was?
Was it
Dave Neal?
Was it really? I kind of thought I recognized his voice, but I never, maybe I was watching a different channel.
And I got a text from Mary Margaret. For those of you who don't know, Mary Margaret is one of our good camp friends. We were both her counselor. And she married Dave Neal, who is an ESPN commentator. And so I got a text from her last night, and she said that he is also going to be at the Tennessee-Mississippi State.
Really? Okay. Well, I never saw a picture of him on the TV. They did not show the announcers anytime that I saw, because I kept thinking, that sort of sounds like him, but then their voices can be sort of the same.
Another one that sounds a lot like him. I always think is Dave, and then it turns out.
And they never showed him, at least that I saw. I never saw
him. Maybe at the very beginning.
Okay.
They only showed him like at the very beginning and maybe at halftime a little bit.
Okay. And I switched over at halftime to different games. Okay. Then that would make sense. But they were, it was just like they were going on and on about Shapen and this and that. And I just, it felt so unfamiliar.
So John Garrett's roommate is an athletic photographer from State, and he got some really good pictures, a couple of really good pictures of John Garrett.
He did. You need to put those on this episode. Those were really cute. I'm glad he got to be at that game. I didn't know he was a photographer. I think I forgot. Maybe I did know he was a photographer for them, but it was so funny. So I tell you one thing that made me also just like have a tinge. Again, I'm cautiously optimistic. Let's put it that way. I have told my whole family. I've told everyone we're dressing out. I expect everyone in the maroon on Saturday.
Friday,
and Avery's like, I mean, I told Avery. She's in Chattanooga. She's like, I said, you got a maroon sweatshirt. She's like, yeah, I'm wearing it. Okay, mom. She kind of looked at me like, okay, mom. So I don't know how it's going to go, but Tim knows. I said, we're dressing out. Mississippi State wine glass will be full of maroon wine. Anyway, I digress.
Hail State.
But I'll tell you what, at the end, there was a little after game interview quick with Lebby, not the big, you know, press conference, but just the little interview. And I'll tell you what he said made me go, okay. Because of course they're like, you know, what are you going to do? You know, what do you need to do? The team did so well. What do you need to do to prepare for next week's big game with Tennessee? Da 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 da. And he said, we got to work on our penalties. And I'm like,
heard that.
That was the one thing. They had way too many penalties. And I was like, I mean, of course he would know. Why? I'm not acting shocked that this man knows more about his profession than I do. But it was good to hear him say that.
I think they had 100 yards in penalties.
They had a lot of penalties. And he just nailed it. He's like, we just got to work. We got to tighten up with the penalties. And I'm like, you're right. Of course. So that made me kind of happy.
Yeah.
So and I don't know.
I tell you what, when they went in the locker room at halftime, he said something. They did one of those quick little interviews. I can't remember what he said, but I thought, oh, we're coming out strong after the half.
I can't remember. I'm really, I'm liking him.
Yeah, I am too.
So far, he's getting good results and good performance from his players. And so, you know, we'll see you guys. But everyone, if you love us, you know, put your maroon on and tag us on Instagram next week. I'll be a nervous ball of something. Let's see what else in football. I mean, yeah, again, Vandy's beating Georgia State 70-21. Again, I don't know anything about Georgia State. I don't think they're very good, but it was ridiculous and stupid. Yeah. And Mizzou had a Mizzou South Carolina game was actually really good. I watched that too, and they beat Mizzou one. It was at Columbia in Missouri. They're both in Columbia's, duh. And it was 29-20, and it was kind of a nail biter. It was a nail biter. So them Roosters go down again.
I long for this Saturday that I can watch football all day long.
I know you haven't. I know. I haven't had one. Well, and all the games were kind of on at the same time, so I had to kind of. I did a lot of flipping around, but yeah, this, like I said, this Saturday, this weekend, I didn't do much. I sat around and watched and disconnected. Trying to think. Oh, I do have a couple words. I have a couple words to say about Arch Manning and Texas. I got nothing. I don't care. Arch Manning's fine. Great. I don't have any really skin in that game. But, you know, and a poor guy. I say poor guy. But, I mean, expectations were extremely.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Extremely high. So I don't have any qualms with, you know, his. Whatever he's going through and doing and perform, but he's been underperforming. You know, had a couple. I think last week his game was a little better. I didn't watch it, but it just cracks me up because so Texas played Sam Houston, which I'm assuming is just a tiny little.
It's just okay.
I mean, I don't think they're a big football powerhouse anywhere. I don't know. Could be wrong. Let me know, Texas people. And I just flipped over at some highlight, and I had to rewind it to show it to Tim because I was like, really? And the announcers was just saying, they were showing Arch was made a really great pass, long pass to a teammate, and he caught it, and I think he scored or whatever. But they were like, wow. It's like, this is what we're waiting for. Arch Manning's finally, you know, is doing what he should be doing. And the play... He threw it to a completely open dude.
Yeah.
And they were making such a big deal about him making this pass to a dude that was, like, what? Completely open.
And but I was he like, threw the ball, Holly.
He did, and I'm happy for him.
Is he a freshman this year, or is he a...
I believe...
Sophomore.
I think this is his first year.
First year. That's what I want to say, and I
think so too. I'm pretty sure.
It's a lot of pressure for a freshman, he's a Manning. So I mean,
and you're the QB, so you're supposed to lead the team, like
right. But he's a freshman,
yeah.
And when you're and at an SEC school, there's a big difference coming out of high school. I don't care how good you are, I don't care, but when you're coming out of high school into the SEC, it's a
you're with transition. All the best people.
Yeah. It's a huge transition.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm not trying again. It was just so funny. I mean, they beat them 55-0. Like the Sam Houston didn't score any points. Yeah. Like I'm like, and they were making kind of, so it was just the funniest thing. Cause they're like, look, he's finally here doing it. And I was like, he's wide open. If he can't make that pass, I don't know. Anyway, that's my beef with whoever called that. Talk to them. Friend, announcer friend, Mary Margaret, tell your husband, tell those announcers to chill out.
Calm down.
Calm down. Yeah, so that's about all. There was a play. It was sort of funny because there was some play in one college game. And then later on Sunday, we were watching a little bit of some pro game. I don't know which one. And they did the same play. And I never heard this before. Joni, it's called the naked bootleg.
The naked boot? I don't think I've heard that one.
I had never heard it, and I heard it twice in one weekend. And because they said it for one, whatever, college game, and they're like, they're naked bootleg there. And I was like, oh, I like, that's an interesting name. I like that.
Better than Lady Cheese.
It's better than the Lady Cheese, which is, it's girl dinner. He got it confused with girl dinner, and he called it Lady Cheese.
Okay.
Anyway, but I was just like, I don't even know what I was saying with that. I've totally, the Lady Cheese just pushed it clean out of my brain. Oh, the naked bootleg. So yeah. So then happening in a pro game. So then I said to Tim, is that a play? And it is. The quarterback drops back. And I kind of figured out because the quarterback ends up by himself with no defender. And so I got that as being the naked part. But he kind of falls back and then he goes to the side, like to the left or to the right. So he's kind of out there by himself, like a naked bootleg. That's the play. If at homecoming game, if they let me call something at Savannah, Hardin County, I'm going to tell them to call a naked bootleg.
But hey, matter of fact, the football queen goes to my church and they were looking for a convertible. So you want me to volunteer? You can drive the football queen in the Christmas, I mean, the homecoming parade.
I think I'd be really nervous, but should we do it? You're with me if I'm doing it. I mean, you're driving.
I can't. No, I'll have to be on the street because I've got to watch all the kids. They position us around and they position.
I'm sorry.
The
if they want a convertible, because right. I'm bringing her down. I'm bringing Suzanne Sugarbaker down.
Uh-huh.
That's the name of my car, you guys. I just needed to tell you. I don't think we've ever talked about that. My car. Her name is Suzanne Sugarbaker.
In the Hardin County Homecoming Parade.
Kind of be a dream come true. Are you going to ruin my dream?
I'm not going to ruin your dream. I'm going to volunteer your car if you want me to.
I'm not doing it if you're not doing it with me.
Okay, well, I'll talk to Wes. So
I'll do it if you'll do it with me. That's the story of my sad life. She gets me in all these fixes, y'all. Okay, I might be in the parade. Whatever. I never know when I come see you. I don't ever know what's going to happen.
Well, listen, the homecoming parade. So next week is homecoming week. Mm-hmm. And we used to do homecoming upright. I mean, we had these huge, elaborate floats.
Yeah.
And beautiful. You know, you had all the chicken wiring. You stuff it with the little palms and, you know, little crepe paper things. And we had beautiful, beautiful floats. Well, when I first came back to Savannah, they did away with that. Now they have, like, signs. I'm like, these kids, they don't even decorate their car. It's like the first homecoming parade I went to. I was like, what is this?
You're like,
this
what's happening? Terrible. Is this a used car show? What's going on?
That's what it looked like. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, no.
No, they've gotten a little better with their signs and things. But yeah, anyway.
Okay. Well, we'll see what happens, y'all. Now I'm a little scared. Okay. If you want to do it and you'll drive, I'll ride in it with you and we'll do it.
I will ask them if they have found the car yet.
So. Okay. I'm happy that I am planning on driving her down there. So we'll see. Good Lord. Okay. Okay. So serious corner a little bit. But this past week, man, I was just really off. Like just really, really an off weird kind of feeling week. And I mean, it's kind of understandable. I just think stuff hit me. All the stuff in the news just impacted me more than I thought it would.
Yeah.
And it really threw me off last week. Not in the, you know, depresso way, but just in a like, I just was like, I needed to check out. Yeah. That's all. That's my only thing I can say is I was like, I just need to check out.
Yeah. Well, listen, we had, so last week, a good friend of ours, Caleb's grown up. Well, I mean, I grew up with him and Caleb grew up with his daughter in our house all the time. Big part of Shankfest all the time, all that stuff. Anyway, so our friend had a heart attack. He is like the fittest person in our class. I mean, I was like, what is going on? Who had this heart attack? Anyway, he had a little heart attack, and then he was in the hospital, and he had the Widowmaker. He had the second, you know, massive heart attack. And, you know, thankfully, they've saved him. He's living. But he's going to have a long road back.
Yeah, so long.
He had that. We had the Charlie Kirk assassination. We had the girl on the train get killed. We had the school shoot. I mean, it was just all this stuff. It just kept coming.
On top of 9/11, on top of the memory of it. And it was just a lot. I just felt very, very, very heavy. Yeah. It was just a heavy, heavy week. And you know, again, that's, you know, I want to say, you know, fine, quote unquote. It's okay to experience that heaviness. but yeah, I don't know. It was like, I just needed to, like Wednesday, I was going to do all these errands and do all this stuff. And I was like, nope, I'm going to do like, I'm going to go buy yarn for a new crochet project. I'm like, literally like I, and then add on top of that, you know, when your precious mother-in-law has dementia and the assisted living place, emails you like a couple days before and is like, hey, electricity's going to be out on Thursday. Oh, no. You know, it'll be on. I mean, they had all the facility, you know, meal, you know, they were, had the meals planned and limited, you know, we're going to be on the generator. So we'll have limited, lights, you know, like in the lobby and that, but when you have dementia, anything that's off your routine,
just off your routine.
You just, yeah, it's yeah. just, yeah, it just, you know, is not, easily handled. So anyway, so that, you know, and everything's fine. Everything's fine. But it was kind of on top of, I just felt so drained of energy and I needed to show up and I did. I took her to the garden because they're like, if you have any errands or anything you want to do, you know, this would be a great day to do it. Of course, they said this to us on Monday and, you know, like, and then anyway, it was all fine. I took her to the botanical garden for just a little bit. We rode the tram around there and did that. But then like, you know, as soon as you get back, literally I got a call before I was even back on my errands and just, she was stressing, you know, it just is a lot. So it was like that on top of, you know, something so out of our control that we can't help with, you know, yeah. So nothing, you know, it was heavy. So, on that note a little bit, it was interesting because, and I took the time to rest. I'll be honest. That's why, I mean, this weekend I'm like, my crochet project saved me. I mean, I went all over to find the right yarn. I did. I mean, on Friday, again, I had all these, not a ton of plans of things I needed to do, but I literally went out to my booth, moved a couple things, dusted, drove all the way across town to get a certain tinted lip balm that I needed to have that day.
That's very important. Yes.
I decided that I was going to do that. I was going to go get that tinted lip balm and then make sure I had my yarn and go home and everybody leave me alone. So
there's that.
Anyway, but it was, but today, this is just a little side note. So I'm studying in my Bible study time or whatever. I'm studying the book of Habakkuk. And this is kind of a roundabout way of how I got to this, just this little passage that I want to share. So in Habakkuk, there's a verse. I don't even know that I need to read it. Yeah, there's a verse that says, let's see, in chapter 2. It's talking about the vision that God's giving to Habakkuk, and this vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so I was looking into that verse. I was doing some verse mapping and stuff on that verse, and then it cross-referenced to Hebrews. It says it's cited in Hebrews, and I was like, oh, interesting, because Habakkuk is a tiny little book. You know, it's like 3 chapters, so it's cross-referenced along with another verse in Habakkuk, in that same chapter, verse 4 says, behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him, but the righteous shall live by his faith. So both those verses are cited in Hebrews. So I looked at it and it says, this goes back to verse 36 through verse 39 of Hebrews 10, it says, for you have need of endurance so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For, quote, yet a little while and the coming one will come and will not delay, but my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him, unquote. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. And I was just so struck by that verse in light of what's happening in the world and in general, and also just in the particular, you know, particularity of, as believers, you know, whether you like Charlie Kirk or thought anything about him, I wasn't a particular, I definitely seen his videos. I know about, you know, what he's about, but I was so struck with the verse that said, "But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their soul." And then I looked up really quickly in Strong's the word for shrink back, because it said God does not get pleasure from that in the verse above. And it just means cower or be timid. And then it said of those, so it means of those who from timidity hesitate to avow what they believe. And I was like,
well, he certainly did not shrink back.
Certainly did not. And again, whether you agree with his style, whether you agree with all the things, it's, I think, been part of this week for me, and for a lot of people, for probably all Christians, and others too. I don't mean to exclude people, but has just been a real struggle and kind of, you know, figuring out kind of where we are and where I am and where, you know, where do I need to be spiritually? Where do I need to be in all these different ways? What's happening in the world around us? What are we called to do? You know, you kind of get down to that. What's important? You know, you talk about that a lot. We talk about that a lot. You know, what's really important? And again, you know, you can do this in a lot of different ways, but I was just really struck by that because I think that's been a lot of the expression of obviously people that knew Charlie and that followed his, you know, the Turning Point family and all that kind of stuff, who just that tendency, you know, the I don't know how to say it, but the prevailing feeling seems to be, of course, we're not going to shrink back, right? That's not the thing to do. And to think that through in your own life and in my own life, and what that looks like. Because, you know, again, there's a lot of different ways you can do it. It doesn't mean being confrontational. It could, and all that. So not to get caught up in the particular style of things, but just to think about that. And I really loved that definition, again, from when I went online and looked up that word, you know, and it was of those from whom timidity hesitate to avow what they believe. So am I avowing what I believe? And that can look a million different ways.
Did you watch the memorial service?
I didn't. No, I've seen pieces. I've seen clips of it. I did not watch the whole thing.
I had a like an hour in between church and the fish fry. Mm-hmm. Listen, the gospel was clearly presented by, you know, a lot of people were up there presenting, but I would say like, maybe three or four, I mean, just were on target, spot on, you know, sharing it. And then I did not see this because I was gone, but Ron was home. He's got a cold, so he stayed home. And he was watching it. And Erica, I did see the clip of where she stood up and talked about forgiveness. And very tearfully, very moving, you know, said, I forgive him. And then this is what I didn't see is Trump stood up to speak and he said, I heard what she said about forgiveness. And he said, I'm not like that. He said, I don't want to forgive my enemies. He said, I want to conquer my enemies. I want to do all this. And I told Ron, you know, and I don't know how he said it or, you know, I may be making it worse than what it or making it sound worse. Mm-hmm. But what I told Ron, I said, since he even vocalized that, that's rolling around in his head. That message of forgiveness and loving your enemies and being at peace with your enemies, that's rolling around. And not just, I know Trump was the one, but I think a lot of things that were said are rolling around in people's heads.
For sure. For sure.
And it was not a political message. It was a Christian message, you know, forgiveness and peace and love.
And listen, Christians, I mean, we struggle with forgiveness. Yes, I struggle. Yeah. This is not just a non believer versus a believer thing. Right. This is an area that is, you know, it is a struggle. And some people struggle more than others, you know, like we have different gifts and faith, you know, different things. Yeah. But yeah, it's a good word, you know, for sure. So, yep. Anyway, that was just, you know, again, we gotta, you know, we want to be able to talk about stuff. And I think that's just, you know, we don't want to get whatever. I mean, we're here to really be fun and silly, and we know that. But we can also have a little few minutes of serious every once in a while, because we know, again, it's just where we are and the world we live in, and we're figuring it out. And I'll tell you one thing, I do, you know, take a great deal of hope. Again, you know, seeing how the younger generation is responding, you know, seeing in my own kids' lives, you know, in your kids' lives and other people, that there's a real quality base of these young generations. And that's great to see. So, yeah. So, okay, that's all I have to say. I'm telling you, my crocheting saved me. I'm telling you, my hands were like cramped up from doing it. Tim's like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, carpal tunnel from checking out, decompressing, crocheting.
To decompress.
Okay.
Ready for my recipe?
I can't wait.
Okay. I call this one Ron's chicken.
Oh. This like is, lady cheese. Sounds like lady cheese.
No, this was the first meal that I ever cooked for Ron Schenck when we were dating. Mm. And he loves it. Now, I will tell you.
That's what got him.
I know it did. It does call for cream of mushroom soup. And I now make my own cream of mushroom soup. But I'm not giving you the recipe for that. I'm not going to go into all that. I'm just going to give you the simple stuff. You can look up how to make cream of mushroom soup.
Yeah. All right. Okay.
So you need 6 boneless chicken breast. And you need 8 slices of just deli ham, you know. Mm-hmm. 8 slices of Swiss cheese, 1/2 cup of butter, 1/2 cup of flour, 1 can of cream of mushroom soup, 1/2 cup of milk, and 1/4 cup of cooking sherry. And I might put in a little more than that.
Can't hurt.
So you are going to, what I do is I go ahead and brown my chicken, flour it, and then brown it. Just on both sides. You don't have to cook it. Just brown it there. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then I wrap ham and cheese around it.
Oh, yum.
Yeah, it's good. Okay. And then and your butter is what you're going to brown your chicken in the butter.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. And then go ahead and put all that chicken after you've got it put together, put it in just in a long glass dish. I use, depending on if I'm making all 6, I do a 9x13 Pyrex. If you make less, you can do it in just a little casserole, mm-hmm. kind of oval thing. But, and then you are going to mix your soup with your milk and your cooking sherry, pour it over your chicken, cover it, and bake it at 350 degrees for 1 hour. And then uncover it and bake it for about 5 minutes just to kind of brown a little bit. Mm. That's it. Mm. And it is so good.
Mm. That is a good, it reminds me of, so what is it? Is it chicken cordon bleu that has a ham yes. and a cheese yes. situation? Okay.
Yeah. It's kind of, it's maybe a mock cordon chicken.
Yeah. I like it though. Cause it's like on the outside, like the cordon bleu, I think is in maybe stuffed
it's
in there. Or
it's breaded. Yeah. So okay. you, chicken cordon bleu, you would put the ham and the cheese inside the chicken.
Okay.
And then you would bread it with like
bread. That's why I never made it. I just buy it in the frozen food section. When
right.
I was a
yeah,
kid.
I know.
I'm like, but this sounds similar and very
yeah.
doable.
Yeah. Yes.
Very doable. And then what do you like yeah. to serve that with? What's Ron's favorite?
I do it with broccoli mm-hmm. or roasted potatoes mm-hmm. or anything. I just have like a, usually it's roasted potatoes and broccoli. Mm-hmm. Or sugar you. Snap peas, any
you can't
kind
go
of,
wrong. And again, yeah. rice would be great. You can't go yeah. wrong with rice and broccoli and that. Boom. Boom.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing. I'm really hungry.
Ooh, there it is.
What? Stop.
Ooh, there it is. All right. So,
okay. Are you ready for my top 3?
I am.
Top 3.
Okay. This week, number 1 of my top 3, I don't think I've ever talked about this, but it's the Clinique, every time I raise my hand, the dumb Zoom thing tells me it wants me to raise my hand. So I'm trying not to talk with my hands. Clinique Take the Day Off Cleansing Balm. So, you know, as we all know, a cleansing balm, it's kind of this nice emollient, you know, I'll say oily, but you know what I mean, that you use first to break down all your makeup. And I've used this for years. I wish there was something less expensive that I like. I've tried different, you know, kind of drugstore ones to kind of see, and they're always okay, but I always go back to the Clinique Take the Day Off Cleansing Balm as my first cleanse to melt everything off. It's just really gentle, and I just really, 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 really like it. So it's worth the money. I get the big old tub. Don't get that small. You know, the price difference to get on the big one is, it's a better deal. But, and it does last a good long while. So if you're looking for a new balm, that's a good one. The second thing on my top three is something I got at an antique mall here in town several weeks ago now, but I just got it up and put it out. And I got this beautiful painting. Don't laugh at me. Of a pheasant bird, really pretty, on black velvet.
Okay. It's like the clown. It's like the clown painting my mother
sort of like it, but not, because the clown painting is terrifying. But I got a painting on black velvet, y'all. What is happening? But it's so pretty. I mean, most of those paintings on velvet tend to be like, well, scary clowns.
Welcome to the 70s, yeah.
Well, yeah. Scary clowns, or like the dogs playing poker, or like Elvis. Like, they tend to be like weird, but this is a beautiful, colorful pheasant bird. And I was like, I love that. I have to have that. So I bought it, and I just put it out in my dining room. I need to see if that's where I want it. But for fall and into winter, I love pheasants. That's my, I have a bunch of pheasant. I have pheasant feathers. I have pheasant little statue birds everywhere. I love to use them at Thanksgiving on the table. I'm obsessed. So that's the second thing. And the third thing is the thing that saved my life this past week was a new blanket crochet project and pattern. I learned a new stitch and pattern, so I'll link it on there. But it's called the Tunisian Entrelac Crochet Blanket Pattern. And it's basically, I kind of brought it in here, but we'll link it so you guys can see what it looks like. And actually, I'm linking it to a little tutorial video because I learned better. Like, I printed the pattern and then I was like, I better watch a video. It's like little squares, diagonal in rows, and then a different color in diagonal squares that fill in. And it's just like all these rows of these really cute little, but they, you can do it connected. It's not like granny squares where you do each square separate, because then you have to connect all that, and nobody wants to do that. So it's like little rows of these cute little squares. So I'm just a stitching away. Got my yarns, and I'm going. So, yeah. That's all I got. Top three.
Yeah, top three.
Are you alive?
I'm alive.
Oh,
I'm
good. All of a sudden, I thought you fell. You guys, she might have fallen asleep.
I might.
She needs a break.
I'm at the end of the pellet. I get the pellet tomorrow. So
oh, thank goodness.
Alive after that.
Okay, and I get my hair did tomorrow. So yay. I'll have new hair and you'll have a new pellet. It'll be a brand new week.
A brand new week next week.
Brand new week. You guys. Oh my goodness. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us today, and hope everyone is having a good week. I know, again, as we talked about, things have been, you know, kind of hard and kind of heavy, but you know, that's okay. And hopefully we can make you laugh a little bit and make you think a little bit, and we can all kind of just get through it together, as they say.
So. You know, and I'll go back to, you know, Joseph is one of my favorite Bible characters, you know, and it's very clear in there what you meant for evil, God uses for good. Mm-hmm. And that's whatever you're going through.
Yeah. And yeah. Somehow that will be true. We don't maybe know. That's good. Excellent. Well, until next time, guys, goodbye, Pellet.
See you, Patch. see, I can't even think. My mind is so gone. I can't even, I had to go pellet.
I get it confused too. I always, when I'm about to say it, I'm like, what do I say? Pellet? Goodbye. Does she have the pellet or the pat? I get confused too. So it's fine. Oh my gosh. I sent him to go on Saturday. I sent him to get, take Sherlock to the, get his nails cut at the vet. And I said his appointment's at 10, and then he was taking his time getting out in the door, and I was like, you better hurry, you're going to be late. And he looked at me like, whatever, and he left and got him out there. The appointment wasn't till 11:20.
Oh, my gosh. He was thrilled with you, wasn't he?
He was fine. He's so nice. He's too nice to me. No, he texted me, and he goes, Guy, you're in the appointments at 11:20, but they said if I just hang out that they can get me in. I just have to wait a few, because it's just a nail trim. It wasn't, you know, thank God it wasn't something, you know, bigger. So that's how my brain was not functioning. Literally was not functioning.